There's going to be more than one.
Hallelujah.
But they'll get raptured first.
Hallelujah.
Holy.
Holy.
You know, and we've got an example to follow even right now. I mean, people need to follow our example. We need to be the example. And we need to dig in and show people that God is real and that Christianity is real.
Amen.
He's my Father.
Amen. You can be seated. Okay. Well, we're going to receive the tithes and offerings, but... I want you that have been witnessing to come up and witness. And witness? No. Let's see, we need some...
Testify.
Testify.
We're going to testify. It has been a glorious 2 days.
Yes.
I cannot even begin to explain to you how excited I am.
Wait, tell them what we're doing, though, what you're doing.
We have been out by Walmart and sharing the gospel, praying for others, handing out tracts and sharing God's love with everyone that passes by. We have witnessed to over 40 people who have come and changed their lives in 2 days. And one of them is here tonight who receives prayer. His name is Don. And we're so grateful to have you here, sir.
Welcome.
So grateful to have you, sir. You're welcome, welcome, welcome. you want to...
I'm not even sure what to say. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
It is so exciting, and it really, really lifts you up yourself when you're ministering to others.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even when you're receiving negative feedback from those that pass by, it doesn't bother you.
It doesn't bother
you. Not whatsoever.
No.
You bless them.
Yes, yes.
But it's the blood of Jesus over them.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Yes, we've seen... Satan,
yes.
Come.
Mm-hmm.
We've chased him away.
Yep.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
We give the glory to God, not to us.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
It's God that does this. It's Jesus' help.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. We need him. We need him in our lives, and we need our lives to shine for him.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And it has absolutely been, like Michelle said, a wonderful time. We had a good time out there, and the heat was not
a factor
at all. Didn't bother us at all.
Not even close.
The first day, we didn't really receive a whole lot of feedback from the people that were going by.
But we were excited
for it, and
honey tracks bees.
Yes, we handed out lots of tracks, and we the second day we got more positive feedback.
Yes.
We were starting to get blessings back from people that we were blessing.
Yeah. Lots of honking.
And lots of honking, lots of waving.
Mm-hmm.
And
love.
You know, one of the funniest things that I thought of that I seen in the 2 days was we actually got a couple birds tossed at us, and we just rebuked that and laughed at it and chased that and yeah, and we were, you know, we kind of expected that, but when I actually seen it, it was like, it was funny to me. It didn't bother me at all.
No, huh? And, you know what, I'm so innocent, I was thinking birds or something. But I know what you mean, because I've stood in lines with abortion, non-abortion, and had birds. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Finger.
We encourage any
finger.
Of you to come out and join us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's a good time. I know it's been a little warm lately, but
don't even think of that.
We don't even think about that. We just focus on everybody coming by. We bless everybody, and it's just been a wonderful time.
Tell them what happened to the policeman when he went by.
That was on the first day, and he did not even stop at all. He just drove by.
He waved at him.
And we blessed him, and the second day...
And he blessed you.
Yes.
A policeman.
Yes,
he did. He waved back, yes.
We actually had 3 police officers go by, and every single one of them waved and smiled at us.
Yeah.
We know that what we're doing out there is for the Lord. And for his glory.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we encourage all of you, if you have time today at 3:00 or tomorrow at noon, Please join us out there. Join the celebration of the Lord. Please come out.
And it don't matter.
Don't even think of the heat, because it didn't even affect us.
Right.
Not once. Right. Not once.
Not once. We're blessed by and it, it doesn't matter if you come out for a half hour.
Maybe
or
not her.
Just 15 minutes.
I am on fire for the Lord.
Oh, your neck is burning. Yeah.
Okay. So we encourage you all to come out and join us. 3 o'clock today. And you know, if you know where the corner is by Walmart, between Walmart and
Walmart gas station.
The gas station and Tractor Supply, right on the edge of Tractor Supply.
Yeah.
That's where we're standing. Just come out there, park your car by Tractor Supply, and join us in blessing others and sharing love, please.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Hallelujah.
All right. So praise the Lord. Okay, so I'm just going to say something. This is, it's timely. They have some signs. All it is, you have 3 signs and one says 4. Okay, there, one says prayer. I mean,
yeah,
she, she got my blessing on all that stuff. First, we went to Milady and she showed me all the signs she made. And they've got a lot of tracks and things like that. And I just wanted to see what, you know, how this was going to go, but it's going good. You know, okay, this is the time when you eagles need, and I heard Mario Murillo say this. He said, you eagles need to get out of the turkey yard.
That's right.
Exactly. The eagles, and that's us. You know, that's us. That's the Christian body needs to get out there, because we're in a time and a half in the United States of America. And you know it. I mean, if they can go out there with their signs, you know, this whole, in fact, I got a whole bunch written down here again, and then we'll receive the tithes and offerings. But see, God is about to tell us and use us to speak things and do things we think are impossible.
That's right.
It's the truth. And if we become yielded vessels to him, amen?
Yeah.
Yet you can't imagine. I mean, 1 Corinthians 2, I was given this scripture way back in Women's Aglow. And it was like a prophetic scripture to me. Eye has not seen nor has ear heard the things that God can do to those who love him. And you will not know, but the Spirit inside of you, the next verse says, knows what to do. I'm saying it on my own. Okay? The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. You know, I know, because, I mean, I've done stuff like this before in the past. We used to walk around. A big bouncer came out of a strip joint to me once and said, what are you doing? And he was about as tall as you. I'm 5 foot. And I said, we're praying for you. But I mean, you do, if you know, if instead of taking drugs, I mean, if you ever took heroin, I never took heroin, but I'm just saying that is it makes you high just to do that.
Yeah.
Even to be persecuted for it makes you, it's good. I know, because I've been there. Mm-hmm. Makes you feel good. Anyway, but now, the secret of the Lord is with those that fear him and are filled with him. All I'm hearing is sermons like from my pastor, Nancy Dufresne, about get filled up. You know, when John was here, he said, you know what, Grandma, we got to stay filled up. You got to stay filled up. Every day you miss a time and you start to go downhill right now because of what's going on. So it's important. And I felt led to tell everybody the other day to say Luke 4:18-19. Remember I told you? And see, that was, I remember we first time we went into prison ministry. Can I get rid of this? First time I went into prison ministry, and I was teaching, and this was in Omaha Correctional Center. It was all men, it wasn't women. And we were with couples, though. There were other women there and stuff. And I just, it started to come out of my mouth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. All of you need to say this. We need the whole body of Christ. No pastor can do what needs to be done in the coming revival. The Spirit of the Lord is on you because you're born again. He's anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent you to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the opening of the eyes of them that are blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised and hurt inside, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, instead of thinking of ourselves and, oh, this is going wrong, that's going wrong, with this person, that person, get out there and quit thinking about ourselves. Amen. This is a time God wants us to get out there. Like I said, there is no way there can be a revival unless everybody is ready.
That's
right. See, and this kind of thing, well, it's all, we are getting ready. I saw how ready you people really are.
Hallelujah.
You are, because you know stuff.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You know stuff, and you know what to tell people.
Amen.
You know what? And God wants to use you.
Uh-huh.
But when you allow the Spirit of the Lord on you, you can be turned into another man or woman. And you need to yield to that Spirit. You know what? The United States of America is going to be changed by those who really know God.
Amen.
What I see is people know about God. It's all head knowledge, intellectual. Or just, you can go to theological school and get all the degrees you want. And if it's only in your head, it is zero.
That's right.
Because it must come from the Spirit. It has to come from the heart. And you have to know not about God, but you have to know God.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
Huge difference. And like I always used to, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Yeah. The doorknob's inside. And he says, come on and I'll sup with you. I know I've said this over and over, but it makes sense to me. You know what? Okay, so you know athletes who are famous. You know the president. You know about them, right? Movie actors, you know about them. But do you know them well enough to invite them in to your house for barbecue? Probably not.
Nope.
I don't think anybody would. But you can know the Lord that way.
Amen.
Not just about him, just a bunch of, oh, yeah, well, blah, blah, blah. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. Well, we memorized that scripture. You don't even know what you're saying. Do you really trust him?
Amen.
You go out in the rioting street.
Amen.
Oh, God, I trust you. I trust you with all my heart. I don't lean to my own understanding.
Right.
In all my ways, God, lead me, guide me, direct me, protect me right now.
Amen.
You know what I mean? You have to know him to even be that way. That's where it lies, in knowing him. And those who intimately, who worship him and love him and honor him and whose relationship with him is real. And you can be turned into another person that will fear and hear God and be driven by what he tells you. Without any qualms.
Amen.
You'll be shocked at what happens to you. You know, I mean, well, I've experienced that. Just, you think you're a nobody, and you think, what am I doing here? But God will use you if your heart's right.
That's right.
He uses those people whose hearts are right. Then all of a sudden, you stand up, or I can remember having chapel with the kids when I taught school. And I go, I'm shocked at myself. I was shocked at what was coming out of my mouth. That was way before I was a pastor. Way before. But I'll tell you what. We will be used in that with the Great Commission. Demons will be cast out. You can do it. The paralyzed will get up and walk. The dead will even be raised. You know what? And it'll break the lies of the media and the evil, the negativity, the anti-Christ agenda, and there will be undeniable miracles. And that's what's going to break all of that evil and darkness in the United States of America. We're in it.
Yes, we are.
I've waited for it. Waited. I asked the Lord to let me live to see it, and I'm seeing it. Yeah. There is revival starting, and it's gonna hit. Yeah. But He's going to use you, and you will obey the voice of the God. Yeah. That's why you got to know Him.
Yes.
I want to go too much, because now I'm going to have two sermons again. Second, but 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. Maybe we'll just quick go to that one. No, okay. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
You can do it. Get yourself ready. No matter where you're at.
Yeah.
Little town, big town, out in the country, doesn't make any difference. Okay, but it said in a great house, this is in the Amplified, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also utensils of wood and earthenware, some for honorable and noble use and some for menial and ignoble use. I know I had a lady come up to me and she said, well, see, that's what I am. You know, we're just ignoble use. And she didn't read the next scripture. What you've got to do, though, if you're that way, you cleanse yourself from what is ignoble and unclean, and you separate yourself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences. Who are you hanging around? Is someone pulling you down? Is somebody pulling you away from the Lord? Then, if you do that, you know, separate yourself. Then you will be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the Master, fit and ready for any good work.
Amen.
So separate yourself. This was another one. There have been user-friendly churches that have risen up. Born-again, spirit-filled churches. And I heard somebody say, I copied it, this is, I'm not that clever, but it said, separate yourself from the big screens, the skinny jeans, and the fog machines. And I hate to say this, Sonia, they said designer coffee.
We heard some awe.
I know. But he was talking. He was talking like designer coffee. I like designer coffee too. But that was the seeker-friendly church. You know, they would break every 15 minutes. I mean, they're out there.
Oh, yes,
see, that they did that to get a lot of people in because it's easy.
Yeah.
Oh, they got thousands of people to come to their church that way. People don't like to hear the whole truth. Or that they have to shape up. But I don't care that. You know, there's preachers that have come in here, big preachers, for conferences. And they've actually said, you're a remnant church. You're a remnant church who wants to, you know, do it all. And not, that's why people, sometimes the light gets so bright that people can't stay. Anyway. But, okay. So the world has crept into the church so much that there is actually going to be a hunger to know God in born-again, spirit-filled churches. There will be a hunger to know God. Daniel 11:32, they that know their God will be strong, I know that one bar, and do exploits. You see what I mean? You get excited about these things. So God is training. He's designing us to deal with the evil, and that we'll be led by the Spirit to be vessels of fire and glory. You know, even to the point of opposing the government. Well, you know, people say, well, you're a bad witness and we shouldn't rebel all the way. But I tell you what. Well,
bring it on.
You know what? The American Revolution is proof that you can rebel against the government. You know, don't let them control you. I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about what's going on right now. with all of this stuff. See, we're freedom fighters.
We are.
You might as well call it that. But you can't win souls unless you tell people what's wrong with them also.
Amen. That's right.
You know what? See, all those seeker-friendly, and love is good. We should love. But you also have to tell somebody what's wrong with them. Or they're never going to get that holy thing in there. Instead, see, we're actually, this is a no-brainer election. And if you're confused, just forget it. Don't look at the personality. Look what's behind it.
Amen.
Look what's behind it. You know what? I am not going to get started on that again, though. I get mad or excited. Anyway, well, BLM and Antifa, they're the militia of the okay. Anyway, I'm not going to say it. They are. Okay. Anyway, in Luke 5, there was a leper, and the leper broke the Levitical law. In other words, that leper came to the feet of Jesus, and he was supposed to social distance. He was supposed to be 100 feet, and he broke the law. Yeah.
That's good.
Amen. Then the Levitical law says that no one was supposed to put their hands on him. Jesus broke the Levitical law too. You know what? He went down. He fell at Jesus' feet, and Jesus went down and laid hands on him. And he was completely healed. You know what? There are times. And Jesus, remember when the ox got caught in a ditch or in a hole? The same thing. Well, you can't do work on Sundays, they said. And so, yeah, well, but they would go and get their ox out because it meant money to them.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. And Jesus, and they were refuting Jesus because he was healing someone on a Sunday or on a, you know, on a Sabbath day. Amen?
Amen.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
He broke the law too.
Yeah.
When it doesn't make sense, when the occasion is not right. You know what? So there's people crying for help in the world, and we have the answers. And if you want to, you know what they're crying out? If you want to, you can help us. They're saying to us. And what are we doing? Are we just sitting? See, Jesus wanted the leper to be healed more than obeying a statute or being religious.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
There's churches being shut down. It's ridiculous. Okay. And I'm glad you can play football. Right? Are you getting to play football? Yeah. So are my grandsons. They're getting to play football. And then, but the people in this doesn't make sense. People in the stands have to sit 6 feet apart if they're not family. And yet they're tackling each other and laying on top of each other and spitting on each other.
Come on.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
We were watching them play hockey last night, and they were
not
going
very long.
Right? No, not very long. We didn't really watch the hockey game, but you know, he turned it on and he said, you better social distance there. Stay 6 feet away from him. It doesn't make sense. People in the stands and then, you know, and people are laying on top of each other. Okay, how about the riots?
Yeah.
Same thing. But I don't want to get in there. I just want you to be aware. Stop being naive. Discern. The second this thing came out, I knew what this was control. And if you, anyway, you can't sing because you spit when you sing. We're blessed in Nebraska. And I'll tell you what.
We have a beautiful government.
You know what? There are in Florida, there are more people dying of suicide because they are in a lockdown than from COVID. And the same thing in California. They actually said there's a suicidal pandemic, and most of it is because of a lack of no one can visit. People can't be with other people. And you know what? That's why in California, and it's bad in California. So anyway, so us eagles need to leave the turkey yard.
That's right. Hallelujah.
You know, I don't know if you know that story. You know, egg fell in the turkey yard, and it was a real eagle. An eagle egg fell in there, and then the turkeys raised it, you know, and it thought it was a turkey. And one day it saw the eagles going, flying over. And gosh, that eagle wanted to soar. It wanted to go up there. But see, we have to go up higher. You know, that eagle had that instinct. And if you're full of God, you're going to have the instinct to move out, to move out, to help. But I'm shy. But when you go with a bunch of people, it's easier. It is. It is. See, so we need to be armed and dangerous to the evil of darkness. Okay, anyway, let's receive the tithes and offerings. Wasn't that a good sermon about tithes and offerings? No. So give into the gospel and the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God's going to take over. Uh-huh. That's why you need money to take over. Hey, there it goes.
Zion's gonna just like
amen. God is good.
Oh.
Amen.
All the time.
Glory. Amen.
God. Praise God.
He is a good, good God.
Amen.
But fill yourself up.
Yes.
Amen. That's right.
Fill yourself up.
Big time.
You know, do what you can. So you can be that person who's ready. You know, and you don't even have to say much.
Nope.
You don't have to say anything. Sometimes people can feel just the Spirit of God
just
in you. And they'll come and say, "Will you pray for me?" I just know that you can pray for me.
Yep.
You know?
Praise God.
Like in school.
Uh-huh.
Even in school.
Yep.
You know what?
God.
Why should they make fun of you if you love God?
Right.
Make fun of them because they don't.
Uh-huh.
I don't mean you should make fun of them, but it's the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, Father God, we just thank you for the privilege and honor it is to give into the kingdom of God, especially in this day and in this time, Father. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you, Father, that you turned around in the Great Commission, Lord God, and you said, "Now you go. I have authority over all heaven and earth from my God the Father." But you turned around and you gave us the authority. You said, "Now you go. Lay hands on the sick. You cast out demons. You go do it." And so, Father God, we thank you that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we can do all things through you, Christ Jesus, which strengthens us. We thank you, Father. Also, Lord, that you said in Philippians 4:19 that you, if we make you God of our life, you are our God and you will supply all of our needs, all of them, according to your riches in the glory. But see, it's not just a verse, according to your riches of glory. What does that mean? You have to go from glory to glory.
That's
right. Like we got here. You see, you could be low glory, but you need to get higher and higher in the glory.
By the word of God.
And he will provide.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll receive it.
Praise God.
And Jesus said to his disciples, this is out of the Amplified, temptations, snares, traps, set to entice you to sin, are sure to come, but woe to him by or through whom they come.
Uh-huh.
It would be more profitable for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were hurled into the sea, than he should cause to sin or be a snare to one of these little ones, low in rank or influence. Pay attention and always be on your guard, looking out for one another. If your brother sins or misses the mark, solemnly tell him so and reprove him. And if he repents, feel sorry for having sinned and forgive him. And even if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times and he says, I'm not going to forgive you anymore. I'm tired of this. Nope. Doesn't say that. It says, say, I repent. I am sorry. You must forgive him You must.
Yeah.
Give up the resentment. Consider the offense as recalled and annulled. Okay. So, way back we gave, you know, like, remember the monkey bait sermon? Anyway.
Yeah.
That's okay. People in Africa would want to trap monkeys, and they would put what they called a trap stick inside of the cage, and they would leave the door open, and this trap stick would be meat, or it would be something that the monkey like. They like bright colors too. Well, the monkeys were smart enough not to go through the open door. And they would go to the bars of that cage, and they would put their hand in there, get the trap stick, and they would try to get it out. And the trap stick was always bigger than the distance between the bars, and they could not get it out. And so they would just stand there. But they wanted so badly to have that trap stick and what was on it that they wouldn't let go.
That's it right there.
And you know, the word scandal actually came out of that. The English word scandal came out of that word way back. But it means to entrap and to trip you up. Sometimes that's just like every time you're offended, think about the monkey holding on to that trap stick. And you know what? They would come and beat him to death. Because they would use them, I hate to say, for monkey meat, but don't give it to me. But we're in a faith race.
Yeah, we are.
And we cannot let anything hinder us or stop us or weigh us down. Now, the enemy can't stop you. He cannot overcome the word of God or you or the faith of God in you. So what does he do? He resorts to just wiles. It's called wiles in Ephesians. And it's sneaky things. Just sneaky little schemes. And they're slow, you know, a trap, and it snares you. And every day the enemy is trying to trap you in a cage. He's trying to ensnare you with ropes, tangle you up with chains or a pit. You know what?
Come on.
Even with the government things going on, we're not fighting against people.
No,
we are fighting against demonic spirits using those people. I know they've succumbed to those demonic spirits, but you have to remember that. Remember, you're never fighting people. You are not fighting flesh and blood people, but demonic spirits using them. And you can't tell me everybody at one time or another has probably been used with you know, by the devil, right? So he's trying to trip us up. He's trying to catch you. And the word used in the New Testament is offend. It is. To be offended is to become ensnared and tripped up in your race. A further definition means to cause to stumble. Okay, there was cause to one to feel displeasure at something, to be indignant, to cause someone to experience anger or shock because of what's been said or done to you. Amen? So, what happens? It's anger, it's shock, it is displeasure, indignation. Now, have you ever had any of those feelings? Yep. What was going on? The enemy was trying to trap you. How? By using people to cause you to judge unfairly or unjustly of another. And to cause a person to begin to distrust, to think wrongly, and try and to lose respect and even obedience to something, to cause someone to no longer believe. You know what? Even in Galatians, in the book of Galatians, Paul said, who had trapped you? Who snared you? What happened to you? Who tripped you up? They thought that they had to work for the gospel. Yeah. Somebody came in and told them to start working for the gospel instead of being free. That, see what I mean? But that can happen. Religion can get in there.
I see it all the time.
See, the picture is we're in faith and we're running the race. Yeah. We're making progress. We're happy with other people. You know what? We have a whole family of people that run with us, you know, because sometimes we're really happy with each other, right? We have one God, one faith, one vision, one body. But then the enemy tries to separate. You know, just imagine you're all standing together, holding hand, you know, like arm to arm, and you're going low, we're moving together. Then all of a sudden somebody says something, and you go, I don't like that. You start to hold back. You start to hold back from them. Pretty soon they're going gung-ho. They're happy and they're marching on and they're in God and they're doing all this stuff. And you're way back here. Now, one reason scandalon or offense means a trap is that my foot is trapped. When I get irritated or annoyed, or aggravated, or I get mad. You know why? Because it's inhibiting you. The rest are going on. And you're left behind. So, you took the bait. And you could have shook it off. Now, you know what? And you need to make a decision right now. Just stay with those God joined you to. With the Word of God. I'll tell you, how many times has that happened in churches all over the world? Some people stay in a snare or a trap for years, and the longer they're there, the angrier they get. Amen? They get mad at people because they're moving, other people are moving ahead, and they're being left out. It says that. Yeah, Psalms 112 says that. Sure. How does it say it? They weep and gnash with their teeth. It's not talking about people on the outside. It's talking about Christians. They're going to weep and gnash. Well, how come they got promoted? Well, how come they get to do that? It's not fair. I've been around longer than they have. No, there's something wrong there. You see, they feel left out. No one can keep you from being offended, though. Because when you get offended, you begin to lose your faith. And one definition of it is to no longer believe. You know what? You stop believing in, you stop trusting someone you ought to believe in, but then you're repelled by them. Okay, let's go to Matthew 26. See, offense is one of the enemy's most successful but disturbing. It tries to disturb your faith and to rob you of it continuously. And it's so subtle, though. It's subtle means sneaky. You can be blinded by that. You know what? You might call yourself a word person, a faith person, spirit-filled person, but you're blinded by it. And bitterness can come in. And if that's left unchecked, a lot of other people become defiled by it. Why? Because your whole personality changes. See, when you're bitter, when you're resentful, and you offend, you are not full of faith, because faith works by love, right? You know what? The enemy knows that, but it's so crafty. He'll try to needle you to fall for this trap. Okay, verse 30. I never did say the verse, did I?
No.
26:30. Matthew 26:30. I'm not there either. Okay. Now, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Well, he'll, you know, that was good fellowship, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They had good fellowship together. They were singing together. You know what? Go to verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all be offended and stumble and fall away because of me this night, distrusting and deserting me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Now just take that scripture too. Okay. See, what is offense? It's a trap. You become annoyed, you become indignant, you become resentful. Verse 32, but and 33 and 34.
Yeah.
But after I am raised up to life again, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. He's talking about that. After he's telling him, I'm going to be raised up to life. Peter declared to him, though they are all offended and stumble and fall away because of you and distrust and desert you, I'll never do so. And Jesus said to him, solemnly, I declare to you this very night, before a single rooster crows, you will deny and disown me three times. You know what? It says deny and disown, distrusting, deserting me. When you are offended, you stop believing and trusting in someone's words. You unhook. You disown them. You desert them. You leave. And because you're ashamed or offended, and really because of fear for yourself, you become ensnared. And you're no longer running your race and progressing. And when you're offended, you've lost some of your faith, maybe all of it. And so you no longer believe in someone or their words that you are supposed to believe in. It's someone you're supposed to believe in. Okay, so now let's go to Mark 14. It's the kind of the same account, but it says it in a different way. Mark 14. And go to verse 27. This is all out of the Amplified. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away this night. That is, you will be caused to stumble and will begin to distrust and desert me. For it stands written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised to life, I will go before you in Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even if they all fall away and are caused to stumble and distrust and desert you, yet I will not do so." And Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, the very night, before a cock crows twice, you will utterly deny me, disclaiming all connections with me three times." But Peter said more vehemently and repeatedly, "Even if it should be necessary for me to die with you, I will not deny or disown you." And they all kept saying the same thing. Yep. Peter and the rest thought it was never possible that they would deny the Lord.
Sounds familiar.
Jesus had just, they had just been together with sweet fellowship, right?
True. Yeah,
there was love, there was peace, there was unity in the upper room.
Yep.
But it happened. If it can happen to Jesus, it can happen to us. And look how fast that went. So see, we have to ask ourselves, is it possible for me to become offended at Jesus and his word? This is offense, or ceasing to believe in the word. See, they thought, well, maybe Jesus was just a good man. But all this would not happen. God wouldn't allow that. You know what? You could put that in right now for the United States of America. Oh, no. He's always rescued us. You know, you look back in the history. But, so you don't pray. See, there's been a lot of prophets out there prophesying good stuff. However, there's some, you know, they're telling. But if we don't pray, if we don't change, there's big change. There's been change in me.
You
You know, you come to the light of it. So come on. If there isn't change in you and you're not catching it, you're not catching what God's saying to you.
That's right.
I'm telling you, you better get ready. All right. But see, God's, he'll take care of us. He's good. It can't be. That's what they thought. They were ceasing to believe in and trust in someone they should believe in.
That's true.
Because he was telling them, this night, you're going to deny me, and they're going to take me. Yeah. But Jesus, we saw you. You always got through it. Uh-huh. You know, you always hid away. Uh-huh. There were times when he'd walk right through the crowd.
Gotcha.
But this was different because he was going to die for our sins.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, earlier, to be put out, to be bent out of shape and stop believing in him.
Yeah.
If it was possible for Peter, is it possible for us?
Oh, yes. Amen. I've seen it.
Earlier, Jesus told them to watch and pray, and the disciples didn't do it.
That's right.
They fell asleep.
And, James too.
And it was the three main ones, Peter, John, and James. They were the ones, they were his main people. And he always took them. When he raised the dead and stuff, he didn't take the others. Their flesh took over.
Yeah.
Our flesh can take over. And as much as we think we love the Lord, is it possible to us to become offended at Jesus and at his word? Yeah, it is. But do we have to?
No.
Hey, what I'm telling you, some of you become offended at me, and I'm representing him.
Yeah.
And so when you do that, you become offended at him. It's just that I'm the pastor of this church.
Yeah.
And it's just that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But if I'm not preaching the word, you can become offended.
Yeah.
But if I'm preaching the word, then that's Jesus talking,
yeah,
not me talking. Honest to God. Sometimes I don't even know where I get this stuff sometimes. See, okay. Now, in John, another one, Mark 6, since you're in Mark 6, 1 through 6. Okay, 1 through 6. So Jesus went away from there, and he came to his own country, his hometown, Nazareth, and his disciples followed with him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who listened to him were utterly astonished, saying, "What? Where did this man acquire all this? What is the wisdom, the broad and full intelligence, which has been given to him? What mighty works and exhibitions of power are wrought by his hands? Ah, he's just the carpenter, the son of Mary, you know. I babysat him when I was little, when he was little, rather. When I changed his diapers. Now they're calling him the Son of God? What? Do you see what I mean? Oh, what's she doing behind the pulpit? I knew her. Oh, I knew her when she used to get in trouble in high school. Seriously. But see, it's different when it's with God. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here among us? And they took offense at him, and they were hurt. They disapproved him, and it hindered them from acknowledging his authority and listening to him. And they were caused to stumble and fall. But Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor, deference and reverence, except in his own country and among his relatives and in his own house." And he was not able. I underlined it in my Bible. He was not able. Jesus was not able to do one work of power there, except he laid his hands on a few sickly folk and cured them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in him. And he went about among the surrounding villages and continued teaching. So the answer to that unbelief there was teaching. Teaching isn't as fun to listen to as preaching. Right now, this is teaching. But see, they didn't think they were offended at God. Nah, just this Jesus person, this preacher. But are they offended at God?
Come on. Yes, they are.
Yeah, because God is the one who sent Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Right? God is the one who sent Jesus.
Yeah.
And he told him what to say every second of the day. You know what? Israel didn't even think they were offended at God.
Uh-huh.
Because, no, you know what? The Israelites in the desert, they call that was just a man called Moses leading him. Right? But God takes it personally.
Yes.
He said, I hear your murmurings against me. And because they were complaining, murmuring and complaining about Moses, their leader. See, if you don't receive the one he sends, you don't receive God.
That's right.
If you despise the one he sends, you despise God. You are offended at the words and disrespectful at the one who appoints the words.
Exactly.
He appointed the words. If you're preaching the gospel,
that's it.
You know,
right.
And you are really offended at God.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't see this.
Yeah.
What happens is, actually, I could have gone into the sower sows the word.
Yeah.
If you look at that, people get offended at the word because it corrects them. See, those user-friendly churches, love is wonderful. But if that's all you ever talk about, and we want to love each other, you know that? But you can't change unless you know what the word says and what God wants. And you've got to tell people. And see, they never do that. And then they were doing fake Shekinah glory. The
right.
second I saw one of those machines, it went in my spirit.
Yeah.
Some people didn't catch it. I was shocked.
Yeah.
But anyway, a lot of people do not see this, and they're offended at the word of God.
Perfect.
I'll give you a few examples. Tithing!
Yay!
Yes.
Offended at tithing.
Yeah.
Or giving.
You bet.
How about offended at tongues?
Come on.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Oh, I've been persecuted in this town for that.
I don't care.
They've talked against me because it came back to me. How about healing? God no longer heals. I mean, there's a lot of places here saying that. Now, if the words are man's opinion, then it doesn't matter. But when it's scripture, it's the precious word of God. And then the offense and the distrust is toward God. Now, anything you become offended at, you have judged yourself unworthy of. When you become offended at something, you're not worthy of that. At the word of God for healing, at the word of God for prosperity, at the word of God for the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues.
Sure.
Yes.
The Great Commission.
You know what? Then you won't be healed or prosperous or speak in tongues. So see, when you get that annoyed and angry and irritating and feeling, immediately realize it is a trap.
It's true. Come on.
You know what? Just go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Say whoa to yourself. You know what? Repent.
Right away.
See, the whole thing, somebody wrote us a letter and said, and hi, if you're watching out there, and thank you for the offering that you sent.
Hallelujah.
They said, I like to understand the word. I like to make it down home, real.
Make it real.
Now, I admit there's times I've been angry about, and I go, God, you know what? But admit to yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
You get all those feelings, those icky feelings, and it's hard to stop yourself. But you think, no, this isn't right. This isn't right. I got to practice what I preach. Stop. Repent. And say it out loud. God, please forgive me. Sometimes I go on and on and on, though. Because of my background. Condemnation. I've had to get rid of Yep. See, but condemnation from background, you know what? You know what? I love the word of God, and I'm at peace, and nothing is going to trip me up or offend me. That's what you need to say. You need to say it more often. I love the word of God. And when I hear the word of God, it's not going to trip me up. It's not going to offend me. I'm going to run my race, my faith race, and I'm going to win.
Amen.
And even if someone missed it, I'm not going to judge them. You know, it's not our job to judge people. It's His job. Refuse offense. You love the word of God. Love the people of God. Love the family of God.
Amen.
Now, let's go to John 6, and I'm going to end on this. John 6. Wait a minute. We are in John 6. No, no, Mark 6. John 6. John 6. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. First time I ever read this chapter. Woo-hoo.
I just read that last night. Yeah.
This is one of the best explanations of what we're talking about.
Yes, it is.
You know what? Prior to this chapter, John 6, tens of thousands of people joined Jesus as His disciples.
Yeah.
Now, He had, besides the 12, for sure He had 70. For sure.
Come on.
And they even, but there were more than that.
Yeah.
They even called themselves disciples, disciplined followers of Jesus. They jumped like we were jumping and excited, and they followed Him. But one day,
come on.
You know what? One day they were listening to Jesus and He preached a different message.
Oh, yeah.
A new message. And He said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." And they go, "What?" And suddenly the crowd shuts down on Jesus. Okay, let's go to verse 57, John 6. "Just as the living Father sent me, and I live by and through and because of the Father, even so, whoever continues to feed on me, whoever takes me for his food and is nourished by me, shall in his turn live through and because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It's not like the manna which our forefathers ate and yet died. But he who takes this bread for his food shall live forever." He said these things in a synagogue while He was teaching at Capernaum. All right. I keep going. Okay. "When His disciples heard this, many of them said," what? You know, in the King James, I almost think I like it better. But it said, "He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him." Yeah, you can imagine. "As the living Father sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me." I mean, can you imagine hearing that? "He that eats me." "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eats of this bread shall live forever." Okay, verse 60. "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?'" Remember, now, these are Jesus's partners. You know how we partner with people?
Where'd they go?
You know? Where'd
they go?
Disciples. Now, this is very, 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 very important. How does offense start? These people thought they were committed. Then, all of a sudden, they start questioning and doubting. Well, why is she in charge? Well, how come that guy got appointed ahead of me? I've been here longer. Yeah, but you haven't done anything.
Hey, there you go.
Well, I don't understand the word of God and why they said or do this. You know what? If you really ask, like pray the Ephesians prayer constantly, God, open the eyes. And I say, I zip open my heart to you. I mean it. And pour in everything you got. Open the eyes of my understanding. Enlighten my, flood my heart with light. So I can understand the word. And by golly, he'll do it. See, it goes back to the Garden of Eden. It's devilish. If you want to stay safe and not get trapped up, don't start questioning the word of God. Or say you don't even say you don't understand it, or how could that work? You know what you're doing? You're putting that in your spirit. Well, I just don't understand it. Well, I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. How can that? Quit it. You're telling yourself you're not going to understand it. So when you read it, you don't understand it. Come on. He put his spirit in us to teach us. He gave. That's why the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, lives in us. He lives in us. Can you? You? He lives, really, truly lives in you.
Yes.
Now that's why I like to memorize what does the Holy Ghost mean. He's the Paraclete. He's an advocate. He's a lawyer to the devil when you speak the word. He's the counselor. Hey, you don't have to go to counseling and pay for it. You get it free. He's a comforter, even when you sin. He's an intercessor. He prays for you continuously.
Come on.
When you sin, he prays for you because he lives in you.
That's right.
He's your helper. Yes. I don't know how many times I go, Holy Ghost, help me. You're my helper.
S-O-S.
I feel bad right now. Please help me. Then he is your strengthener.
Yes, he is.
Give me strength, glory.
Yes.
And he stands by you.
Yes.
He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's there. Why just sin? No, he's still there.
Yes. True.
You're the one who tried to run from him. Don't run away from God.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost lives in you.
Yes.
But know what his names mean.
Yeah.
See, that's another thing. Know what salvation means.
Yes.
You say the word with long life, you'll satisfy me and show me your salvation.
Come on.
I rehearse what salvation means every time I say the word. He keeps you safe. He's your healer.
Yep.
He's your deliverer.
Amen.
He's your preserver. He's your I guess he's your provider. I say prosperous. And he gives me a sound mind.
Yeah.
Sound mind. Not dementia. Okay. Well, anyway, all this happened to Jesus.
Yep.
Okay. So when you start to question and you say, well, I don't understand it. How could that work? That is not faith. It's reasoning, it's mind, and it's not the spirit. So stop questioning right away. I know my pastor says that when you start questioning the word, you're in the mental realm.
Yes, you are.
You've come out of the spirit realm.
Yes, you are.
So recognize it, because the devil will not be able to bring you to the next stage or level of this if you say no. If you see what I mean? He hears you. Now, what does Jesus mean? Drink his blood. Well, that's ridiculous. It's cannibalism. Eat his flesh? This is all error. I really enjoyed him before this. But he shouldn't have said that. Nah. He said, you start doubting, you start questioning, you start questioning, questioning, questioning. You're like the animal biting around the trap stick.
That's true.
You're like the mouse trying to get the cheese. See, there's some things we ought not question or even talk about.
No way.
Or ever question. Like the word of God. You know what? I go past when I was a baby Christian. Even now, there's something that I still don't have revelation total of. And you go past it and you just say, God, I know someday you're going to show me.
Yeah.
And he does. He'll show you. You know, don't question. It's between you and the Lord. You know what? These people had seen enough of Jesus.
Come on.
the ones in the Bible. So they could have trusted him through this. My gosh, he was doing miracles, signs, wonders, and all this stuff. And they didn't trust him just because he said that once. He never lied. He was never unfaithful. He was never unrighteous, ever. Why? With one message, they questioned.
Sounds familiar too.
You know what? It shows, did you, you know, in one of the Gospels it said sometimes there's trees inside of us, lodged inside of our spirit that need to be pulled out from of old. You know what? Trees for a long time.
Disobedience.
Okay. Now, everything was going like they liked it, so it didn't come out until now. No matter who, never let one message, one conversation, one mistake on TV, big deal. They didn't get the right scripture. Not one talk, not one meeting make you walk away. Not one.
That's right.
See, how would faith respond? Well, I heard Jesus speak new things since I met him years ago. So I trust him in this too, some of them said. But I don't know what he's talking about now. But I believe I will. If you were there, would have you trusted him?
That's a big one. But the more you draw near to him.
Would have you trusted him? Honest to God, I've heard like preachers on TV and I've heard them make mistakes or maybe say something. Even Kenneth Hagin, there were things that he thought that we were only supposed to live to 70 years or possibly 80 if you wanted. But see, that teaching, no, everybody was saying that then. Ha! Huh. John G. Lake, some of the things he said were back then how they believed, and they didn't have revelation of it. Yet, he was a man of God. Smith Wigglesworth, all of them, Lester Summerall. All of us, we may make a mistake. But basically, if you've got all this other stuff going for you, then maybe you'll find out later. See, the greatest, biggest test of faith is when you don't understand. When you don't understand, you stand in faith and say, I trust you, Lord, because this is your word.
Amen.
Jesus at the cross, my God. Why have you forsaken me?
Uh-huh. Okay. That's right.
He was going through some things too. Jesus was. But he never lost his faith in his Father God. Now, the real question is, what do you do when you don't know why? The greatest test of the 12 disciples was when they saw Jesus submit to those soldiers. They never saw that before. And he let the soldiers abuse him.
Yeah.
And they didn't know why. See, all those other times, right? He escaped. Yeah. Think about it. They had seen him raise the dead. They had seen him do miracles, walk through people, escape murderous crowds, and have no fear when the demons rushed at him. Can you believe when you don't know why?
That's it right there.
Can you believe? Can we believe?
Yes.
Can you have faith when you don't understand? Yes, that's faith. I trust you, Lord, as an act of my will. You know what? I forgive. That's another one. And I trust you, Lord, that you have forgiven me. Now, some have years, people have years of going to church, and one thing happens, and people shake their fist at God and say, this isn't fair, and they leave because they get offended at him.
Yes, they do.
Offended at God. Hey, don't ever be offended at God.
Amen.
They're believing God. Believing lies, rather. They are believing lies from the enemy. God is perfect in all of his ways. Now, how do you get through the toughest, darkest places in your life? You might be devastated. You might be crying. You might not have understanding. Someone dies. Hey, it wasn't God who killed him. Let me say that. God does not cause that. But you know what? Through those tears, you say one thing. You're a good God.
Amen.
You're a faithful God.
Amen.
I will always believe in you, God.
Amen.
I will always trust you completely.
Amen.
I don't have to understand.
No.
I'm always going to believe you.
No.
Always.
Amen.
And when that happens, you will not stay down.
No, you will not.
True.
See, the Almighty God, if he has to move heaven and earth for you to lift it up, he will.
Yes, he will.
Because no one ever trusted him and was made ashamed or disappointed. If you trust in God, you're never going to be ashamed. You're never going to be disappointed.
Amen.
But don't become offended.
No.
Let go of it, whether it's toward people or whether it's toward God.
True.
It's a trap stick, whether it's someone in church, whether it's the pastor, whether it's the corrective word of God.
Yeah.
Forgive. Okay.
Amen.
So I'm going to end it right in a few minutes here. But we're going to get all these scriptures. So how do you stay away from a snare? You stay away from untrusting, demonic questioning of why or people putting doubt in your mind. The second thing, his disciples murmured and questioned at it, and Jesus said, John 6:61. Let's go there. And right before it says, who can be expected to listen to this? But Jesus, knowing within himself that his disciples were complaining and protesting and grumbling about it, he said, is this a stumbling block, a trap stick? Is this an offense? Does this upset and displease and shock and scandalize you? Yeah. First you question, then you gripe, then you complain, then you grumble, and then you murmur. And it leads to verse 62. What then will be your reaction if you should see the Son of Man ascending to the place where he was before? Jesus said these words. I love this. One of my favorite scriptures. Verse 63. I like it out of the King James better, though. It is the spirit that quickens, makes alive. The flesh, your flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, their spirit and their life. But it's out of the spirit. It's life. Okay. So, but they were offended at these spirit words. They were offended at the spirit words and they despised them. Okay. Verse 64. I'm going to read out of the Amplified now. But still some of you fail to believe and trust and have faith. For Jesus knew from the first who did not believe and had no faith and who would betray him and be false to him. Remember, you start to question. This is what you need to question. You question, you question, you question. When you start doing that, you're starting to go backwards. You're starting to flail. Okay, and you start to complain. Okay, now verse 65 and 66 is the last step. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him, unless he is enabled to do so by the Father. And after this, verse 66, many of his disciples drew back, returned to their old associations, and no longer accompanied him. Yeah. How could this happen with Jesus? It did. And it happens today. People leave the church. Now, those steps of offense say, first, you question. Then you complain. You start murmuring and complaining. You stop believing. And pretty soon you leave. And at that point, you're entrapped and you're snared. And you will not go on in your race. Bitterness, anger come in and defile other people. People's healings, people's finances are hindered because of a murderous resentment and a wrath and unforgiveness. And sometimes it's even 20 to 30 years ago. But not us, right? Amen. You know what? Okay. Verse 67. And Jesus said to the 12. One time Nancy Dufresne came here and did, and she said, what can I help you with anything? And went in there, and I started to cry. I was so mad at myself. I started to get shaky voice, and I said, I just don't understand why the church hasn't grown. Oh, my gosh. She went to 9 churches that time, and she preached about finances and about prosperity, except for ours. And she preached some of this. She did. Boy, did she preach it. And when she came to that verse, I remember now, she says, oh, hey. Hey, you 12, Jesus said.
You want to leave?
You go too. Go ahead. Go on. I don't care. Get out of here. Yeah. Everybody, just leave.
Yeah, right.
That's the way she said Jesus said it. I don't know. He says, are you going to go too? And Jesus must have known it was on their minds. And will you also go away? And do you too desire to leave me?
Come on.
And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words, the message of eternal life. I'm going to give way back when we started the church. Kenny Conger was with us from the beginning. And sometimes we used to talk and I went, sometimes you feel like running away. He says, yeah, I do too. And then he says, I feel like leaving, but he says, where else would I go?
Yeah.
I never forgot those words. Yeah. No, so verse 69, and we have learned to believe and trust, and more we have come to know surely that you are the Holy One of God. That's what Peter said. The Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. And Jesus answered and he said, did I not chose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil. Of the evil one and a false accuser. And he was talking about Judas. So, amen. So, remember though, you start out by questioning, complaining, you stop believing, and you leave. You unhook. You question, you complain and murmur, you stop believing, you leave and unhook.
Yep.
Okay. And so, Father, by the blood of the Lamb and the broken body of the Master and Lord, we know we can be forgiven.
Yes.
And Lord, if we have any offense in us toward you, God, or we're angry at you because someone died, you were not the fault of that dying, God.
Right.
Or we have offense and we've kept that offense and we're just angry with you because we don't have the finances or whatever. We, Lord, forgive us.
Amen.
Forgive us for holding unforgiveness toward God. Forgive us for any bitterness or resentment or holding grudges. Right now we let go of the trap stick. We drop it. And we make a stand today. We refuse to be offended today, tomorrow, or in the future. And we refuse to be ensnared in our faith race. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what? The gentleman in back, I need to go. I'm going to go to him because he's on crutches. But I need to lay hands on him. So would you just play some music while... And all of you just agree with me. Because he needs more than... Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay, will you receive it? So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the anointing, Lord God, the burden removing, yoke destroying, devil crushing, mountain moving power of God that will touch his body, touch his mind, touch his soul, God, his mind, will, and emotions, Lord God, and heal every part of his body, every part of his body, Lord God, that he will be whole and healed, and he will run that faith race and he will go and minister to other people in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that he has merits and rewards, Lord God, for all the things that he told me that he has gone through in his life, in the murder of his precious daughter and then his wife leaving him. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have been with him and he has stayed with you all this time, Lord God. For you live in him. He's been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. He is a citizen of heaven, and he's walking in the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom of God, although, God, you said that all spiritual blessings are ours from heaven, or another way to say it, everything that heaven already enjoys is ours. There is no crutches in heaven. There is no disease or sickness or hurt or harm, no lack. No, there isn't. And we're supposed to live. Actually, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to live heaven on earth. And I thank you, Father, that every one of us are going to get the revelation of that before we're raptured, that we're going to do it. I thank you, Father, you're our provider. You are our healer. You are our everything, Lord God. You are everything to us, and everything you did on the cross is ours, God. You didn't go through all that torment. That horrible torment and that whipping was for our healing. And he himself, this gentleman, told me about the whip, Lord. I know it was a cat of nine tails, and it even had broken glass in it or broken pieces in it, Lord God, and that it was just it was squared off just the right way so it would harm the skin, all three layers of skin, Lord God. Jesus, you did all of that for our healing. And we believe, we receive it, Lord God. And we're going to keep saying, I believe you, God. I believe you, God. I believe you, God. Healing is ours. I thank you, Father, that this man himself will lay hands on people and they will be healed. I praise you and thank you. It's not an accident that he came here today and that he stopped and talked to them yesterday. Thank you, Father. I thank you and I praise you for it, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, that his future is bright, Lord God. His future is bright. And we praise you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We honor you. We respect you, Lord. And we know that without you, we can do nothing. But God, we're willing vessels. We're willing vessels for you to anoint us to do the works of Jesus and to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And it says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. That's definite. Amen.